This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls, our very bodies, and set them on fire with love for you. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated if you are not already. Brian McLaren posted this photograph this past week on Twitter, and it's a photograph of something called Galaxy NGC 1300. And when he posted it, he put a little quote on his tweet that said, perspective. This was taken by the Hubble telescope. It's astonishing that we can get a photograph of this galaxy because it is 70 million light years away, according to NASA. One light year would take us 37,000 years. So this is 70 million light years. You talk about perspective. We could all benefit from taking a larger view of things to realize way beyond ourselves and yet also within the unlimited space of our own bodies as depicted in this video. Amazing work by Daniel Obrashko. Talk about perspective. Our Creator is so much greater than we can ever ask or imagine. Unlimited and unbridled, unconstrained, brilliant light in our lives, even in our present day laments. Today, we have more light on this day, June 21st, 2020, than on any other day of the year, for today is the summer solstice. We can take heart in our powerful scriptures today, calling us to be that light in our world, to embrace love instead of fear. We are called to be like Jeremiah. He listened and he followed God's enticing, God's still small voice within him, but that was dangerous. No one understood him, and yet he persisted. Like Jeremiah, if we follow what is frequently the hard path of love instead of fear, we too could be a laughingstock. We too could be mocked. People can not understand us at those times as well. And yet, Jeremiah wasn't able to deny the truth. He said, "There is within me something like a burning fire." He couldn't deny it. We are called to be like Jeremiah, believing in that still small voice within us. This is what Pablo Casals wrote. Each person has inside a basic decency and goodness. If he listens to it and acts on it, he is giving a great deal of what it is the world needs most. It is not complicated, but it takes courage. It takes courage for a person to listen to his own goodness and act on it. End quote. We all have that goodness deep within us. And we can join with the psalmist today, who laments, and yet has hope in God's freedom for him. Answer me, O Lord, for your love is kind. In your great compassion, turn to me. And we can join with Paul in his letter to the Romans in knowing that in Christ, through our baptism, we have newness of life. Newness of life in every moment. But this, my friends, takes courage. Courage to follow today's gospel means choosing love, that perfect love that casts out fear. But we are not to fear. Jesus says that throughout scriptures and three times in today's gospel. So have no fear of them, he says. Do not fear. Even the hairs of our heads are counted. When you look at that big cosmic view, to imagine that even the hairs of our heads are counted should confirm within us not to be afraid, Jesus tells us. And we are asked this day, if we say we are disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, to be like Christ is what our gospel asks us to be. And boy, do we have enough ways to do that today. We follow in the way of love. Even in the midst of so many existential threats, there are just as many opportunities. And we're going to look at the big three that we are all facing today. COVID, racism, and climate emergency. So first of all, COVID. Do we respond with fear and denial, going against what every health official on the planet urges us to do? Do we try to defy by not wearing masks or washing hands or socially distancing? Especially in our area. We had over 4,000 cases yesterday. 4,000 new cases yesterday. Or do we respond with love, taking great care with one another? And out of love, we stay home unless we have to go out. And if we do, we make it brief. And we wear our masks. We stay 6 feet away. And we follow the one-way signs, even though they're irritating In the stores, we get a little extra steps. We can look at it that way. And we believe the scientists out of love for ourselves and for one another. In racism and Black Lives Matter, in this amazing movement, especially right now, do we respond out of fear and get violent? Do we smash businesses and set fires? Do we fearfully focus just on that part of this movement out of fear? Yes, the violence has been real, but that's not the majority of the protests. My husband was in a store recently. Actually, it was on the day after the George Floyd murder. And the storekeeper, the clerk was there, and she looked at him and she said, "When will the riots stop? I'm afraid they'll come here." She was terrified. He reassured her and emphasized that most of the protests weren't violent. On the contrary, do we respond in love in this situation by learning all that we can? About Juneteenth, for instance, celebrated last Friday, Father Marty, Charles Milling, and Rosalind Murray did a great job in that Friday Zoom teaching us about the final end of slavery 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was declared. Check it out. It's still on our website. We can choose love in this situation by educating ourselves about all aspects of people of color, especially if we're white. I never even knew what Juneteenth was until this year. I'm embarrassed to tell you. And yet, as Roz so eloquently taught us all, it's because we were never taught that in school. We just were never taught it. We can choose love and stand up for Black Lives Matter and for police lives. This doesn't have to be one or the other. That's not what this is about. We aren't taking sides by standing up for what most policemen want, and that is peace. We aren't taking sides by standing up for the end of over-the-top police brutality. They want that too. And white supremacy, to end that. We aren't taking sides by standing arm in arm with people of color. Instead of being driven by fear, we choose to love as Jesus loves. Climate emergency. Frankly, this is the one that's just getting lost in all that's going on, and the one that we really need to be paying attention to, my friends. A fearful way that some people look at our climate emergency is A, to pretend it isn't real, or B, pretend it's not as bad as scientists say, or C, tell themselves that we'll never be able to solve such a huge problem, so why bother? That's fear-driven, way down deep. A loving way to look at this is to know that God has given us amazing minds and that there are research scientists who can solve this challenge and guide us all into a new way of being, a new awareness, possibilities we haven't even thought about or discovered. There's a very powerful article that maps out how, if we do everything right, that's a big if, we really can reverse this crisis in 50 years' time. Email me and I'll send you the whole article. It's from a book called The Future We Choose. And I would say The Future We Choose out of love. A loving way to approach all three of these colossal challenges is to realize that we are not alone. We are one people, as the Gospel of John so beautifully reminds us again and again and again. This picture of the planet taken from the moon shows no boundaries. All three of the challenges so prevalent for all of us today are affecting everyone on the planet and all of creation. We have a global pandemic. We have global racism, ethnic cleansing, and prejudice. We have a global climate emergency. In our little corner of the world, our little corner of the galaxy, our little corner of the universe, we must learn to live together as one, or perish together as fools, as Martin Luther King Jr. taught us all. Now, this all sounds well and good, but so hard to follow when we do feel the fear. Truth be known, we all do from time to time, and some more than others. In closing, I share the words of an amazing Episcopal priest named Suzanne Guthrie. She writes a commentary on our lectionary called At the Edge of the Enclosure. I've added a few phrases myself, so taking that liberty. She writes, Pema Chodron, who is an American Buddhist nun, is my go-to gal on fear. In her book, When Things Fall Apart, she has helped me through many a pulling myself back together again. She says, recognize fear, lean into fear, work with fear. Appreciating fear is the foundation of sanity. Fear itself is the vanguard of wisdom, the vanguard of courage. She says, don't go into life just for good feelings, but acknowledge and touch what is uncomfortable and unpleasant. This is what Jesus speaks about in today's gospel when he says, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword, to cut through all the BS, to cut through what's really important in love in this world. And that's challenging. She writes good advice for the departing disciples on their way, since the mission itself implies hardship. Good advice for us as we have so very many unknowns in our lives today. Place your fear in the cradle of loving kindness, she says, and be kind to yourself first of all, because without kindness toward your own self, you're not going to be able to summon up mercy for other people. What does bearing the good news mean but to offer mercy and loving kindness? But all this takes practice. So as the old Benedictine monks say, lento, lento, lento. Slowly, 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 practice day by day. If I practice leaning into my fear, I can actually transform my fear into loving kindness. Sounds efficient. So do not fear, says Jesus. Okay, say I, just give me a little more time to practice befriending my fear. No, no, my dear, no. The time is now. Amen.
Amen.